Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible, because I healed from my own 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting, physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of the journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya website. So now let's get to today's guest. I've got with me Erica Zernzak. And oh my gosh, I mean, talk about dedication, resilience. Like, I have so many words to describe this lady because she went through a 30-year journey trying to figure out that she had Lyme disease. But the path it led her down is just incredible. So I'm super excited to have her on the show and to hear a little bit of her journey and then where it led her and just all the stuff. So, Erica, oh my gosh, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. I love all the work that you're doing for the community and the world. You're just such a gift, and this is just an honor. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It truly takes a village, right? We all do our part. So I
Yes.
appreciate you being a guest because without my guests, I wouldn't have a show. So it's my honor for sure. So let's kind of start. Like, where do we start? I know that this started for a really young age with you. If you could just kind of give us a bird's eye view of kind of what your life was like that you didn't even know it was not normal, right?
Yes, I was described as a very active child, and then one day I just wasn't. And my mom, took me to the doctor, and my pediatrician, Dr. Swanson, he's still living, and bless his heart, he tried everything for me. He tested me for everything under the sun, sent me to specialists. They would leave, send me my mom away, telling me that it was in my head, that I was missing so much school that they were going to call Child Protective Services against my parents. But Dr. Swanson, he was like, "That's my Erica, and she's not going to be making this up." And so he fought and fought and fought for me. And then on one of his lunch breaks, when I was 15 years old, he was so excited. He called me and said, "I figured out what's wrong." He's like, "You have fibromyalgia." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And so I just went on my merry way. But what was very interesting, as my mom knew that there was something, I was on 30 prescriptions. I was always on antibiotics. I was just not doing the right things. And so my mom, she had a friend named Alice, or has a friend named Alice that is a massage therapist. And Alice has a friend that was an herbalist in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I went there, and I left Dr. J's office. It's his birthday today. And I looked at my mom in the car, and I said, "This is what I'm going to do with my life." Because I took three things, because I went to him, I was in a wheelchair. And I was an athlete. When I was not sick, I'm a very tall woman. So I was very tall at a very young age. And so I was playing tournament basketball. I was a center. I was playing volleyball and doing all these things. But I joined the swim team my freshman year of high school, and the cold water is what set me off, and it made me go into a wheelchair my freshman year. And so, but then I saw Dr. J, and he gave me three things. Not that I'm giving any advice, it's just for education purposes and what he gave me. But he gave me liquid chlorophyll, which is the green structure, and it's the chemical structure of liquid chlorophyll. It's like the human, or it's the plant blood. And human blood and plant blood, the only difference is in plants it's iron, and us it's magnesium. Wait, no, maybe I'm getting that wrong. I'll get those backwards. But anyways, the molecules of it are almost identical, but it really helped my blood. And so
I
that
love chlorophyll, by the way.
it's just I think it's a something that is a, I don't think enough people know about it. And he also gave me food enzymes, and food enzymes everybody shouldn't be on those all the time, but I needed it at that time. But the one thing that he gave me that was magical in that time period, in that very first appointment, he gave me a flower essence, called impatience, just the flower impatience. And I took the tincture underneath my tongue and I felt it instantly. And that's when I looked at my mom and I said, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Because it was such, you know, Americans, we want that instant gratification. We want to like feel it instantly. And I could. I mean, being a 15-year-old in a wheelchair trying to figure out what's wrong with you your whole life, I was pretty impatient to figure it out. And so after that, I started taking college level courses with that doctor weekly until I was 16, and then I could drive myself, and then I still did it. I was doing training with him until I was 23 years old. Then I went to college for Chinese medicine because the only accredited school for herbalism, I wanted to go to school that was accredited. And so the only one in Wisconsin was a Chinese medicine school. And so I was like, I've never had acupuncture, but I love herbs. I'll just sign up. And so I was signed up. I was in clinic treating, you know, I mean, it was so fast, but it was wild the experiences that I had. But all throughout that, I still had a lot of symptoms. I had stabbing, excruciating pain that was widespread that never went away. Exhausting, crippling fatigue, digestion issues, food intolerances, gaining weight. I couldn't, hormonal things, cortisol level issues, I immune system issues. And then also my lab work would show different things like RA factor and like these different things that, you know, like were telling my rheumatologist that I was getting like, you know, autoimmune stuff. And so there was a lot of like scary things still happening, but, you know, I just kept on going like, oh, I'm just working too much, or I'm just stressed out, or it's this relationship I'm in, or, you know, we all have trauma
Isn't it
in our lives.
funny how we blame doctors for gaslighting us? And I know, listeners, I say this a lot on my show, but we blame doctors for gaslighting us. And Erica, you were just gaslighting yourself, right? We actually
Yes.
gaslight ourselves through this journey. Like, I think it's human nature.
And too, just to push ourselves beyond our capacity of, you know, to not even
But
give
that
ourselves
is.
permission to rest.
Yes, exactly. We're our own worst patient, right? That is
Yes.
incredible that you started this journey to try to figure out what was wrong with you, and you got so intrigued because here you are at 15, you're in a wheelchair, and you take this little tincture, probably thinking, this man is probably crazy. I don't know what I'm putting under my tongue, and if he thinks this is going to do anything, he's crazy, right? And then you were, wow, okay, wait a minute. What is this? I mean, that is truly, that's so much a part of this journey that we've got to really get curious, you know. And I like to use that word because so much of this is outside of anything we know about. Just like you said, okay, I have to go to this acupuncture school. I don't know what it is, but okay, right? So we have to really get curious during this journey to find all the resources and all the avenues that we can go down. So that's amazing. I love it.
Well, and too, I think what's a really beautiful tip using the word curious is even if it's good or bad, things are coming up in our human experience of just saying, huh, that's interesting. I'm curious about that. It gives us that pause. So our nervous system and our brain can catch up because our brains are so brilliant. It's already predicted everything that can go wrong. And it's already going to go back to what's familiar. And if you're used to your life being, even if it's hell, your body's always going to go back there because our brains don't care if we're happy or successful or satisfied. It cares if we're safe and alive. And like you were saying, our bodies do exactly what we say and exactly what they're supposed to do. And so if we're telling it like bypassing it, these beautiful signals of communication, then that can be definitely problematic.
Yeah. No, that was perfectly said, and it is so true. I mean, we are our thoughts, we are our words. You know, our brain, the part of our brain doesn't know what's real and what's not real, right? Like it doesn't, and so it's going to take what you tell it and what you think. And that is one of the things, you know, just that whole mindset when it comes to people going through this journey. We get it, right? I mean, you went through the journey for so long, and for somebody to just say, oh, well, you need to think positive, we get it's not easy, right? It's not easy, but it truly is a crucial piece to the healing puzzle.
Right. And two, I think brain retraining is even more than just thinking positive. It's embodying it and creating a new identity. Because at the end of the day, something that I've really come to terms with I don't want to be better. I don't want to necessarily be the old version of me. Well, I've been pro I probably have li had Lyme disease my entire life, and I just wasn't diagnosed till 2023, and I'm 45. So I had it undiagnosed for a very long time, but I'm an unusual case because I've helped thousands of people through it through my 30-year career and had the undiagnosed. So it's like I've had the full training, the full boot camp experience of this.
Yeah, and I always say too that I think the best type of practitioner is one that has been through the journey themselves, because we could have someone that's very empathetic, right, to what we're going through. But you know the phrase, Erica, you don't get it till you get it. And it really is true. And I think that it's amazing to have practitioners that go through this journey, and then that's kind of led them to do what they do today. Well, yours was a little bit role reversal. I don't know. It was all intertwined, right? Because you didn't even know what was going on. It's been your kind of your whole life identity, basically, and you didn't know anything other than that. And I know if we could just back up for a second, like in your younger days, were you, how did it affect you at such a young age? Because I know that there's a lot of parents that might be listening, right, that has a child that something is wrong. Whether it's gut issues, food sensitivities, maybe attention disorders, hyperactivity, whatever it may be. And you just think, I have a bad child, right? But really, there is the root of something to anything that goes on with a child. A young child should not have three, four, five different things going on, right? Asthma, eczema, food sensitivity. Like, that's not normal. There's something that you need to look at. But it could be hard. It's not, I'm sure that these parents don't believe their children, but we can't get the answers. And so I'd just like to hear kind of from your perspective now, being, an adult and going through all what you've done, but then you lived it at a younger age as well.
I think it still it can be trauma, like bring up triggers and traumas for me, because it's when you've been told it's in your head for so long, and then you find out no, it's actually been brain infections and inflammation this whole time. That's been a lot of conditioning of self-worth and confidence and just trust of and trusting my own wisdom and my own, so that's been a lot of brain retraining that I've had to do. Because I was put into the special reading classes. I was, even though I was in college level courses throughout my whole, even though I was missing hundreds of days of high school, I still great was eight, like 4.0, like in all excelled college level courses. And so it wasn't that I was, in air quotes, like had a disability or, or low IQ. It was that I had infections in my brain. And so with those infections in my brain, I remember in third grade, I was 8 years old. I even remember I had a pink jean skirt on and a purple flower shirt with a little pigtail. Like, I just remembered my outfit. I thought that I looked so cute that day. And we had our guidance counselor come and speak about suicide prevention. And I remember thinking, wow, this is a great idea. This is a great idea. I'm going to go home and do this. And so I did. And so I slit my wrist, and I did it right. I because I listened to him. And so I was in a hospital for a month when I was 8 years old. And so that was traumatic too, like being in that, and then being around people that had such advanced psychiatric issues, so, but that also gave me an ability to have empathy and compassion and to be a better practitioner as I grew up, because I still remember the kids that were in there. And I, my parents had good insurance, so it wasn't, it was, but anyways, so,
That is heartbreaking. And so what prompted you to do this, right? Because
the
they
pain.
come and they teach you this to spread awareness and prevention and what not to do, not
Right.
to, Erica, go home and do this, right? So it was just the pain that you were dealing with
I
and just feeling
couldn't
that
see
you
a
were a
way out of
different
it.
child.
Yes, I couldn't see the way out of the pain. The pain was so excruciating. I couldn't function. And that really that affects every when you're in when you feel like you're being stabbed all over your body constantly, it affects everything. Your sleep, your emotions, your digestion. Like even just your normal childhood of like the things that you're capable of doing. But that the suicide attempts lasted until my 20s. But But it was interesting. They started to come back when I had some mold toxicity, but I was grateful that I had the training. I was like, not today. No, I see you. We're not doing this. But I was grateful that I could coach myself. And I don't mean to make it humorous because it's not funny at all. But it
Right.
was, you know, the thing about the Lyme disease and these co-infections and mold toxicity is it wants to keep us on these lower vibrations because it feeds off of it. So, you know, being not diagnosed properly until 2023, what happened was one of my good friends, she's a massage therapist, and so I was having a flare up, and I was seeing her every week, and it was in October, and she's like, Erica, ever since I've known you, I swear you have Lyme disease. And I said, I have been tested so many times for Lyme disease. I don't like maybe, but my doctor and my doctor's nurse practitioner both were re retiring. And so there's this acupuncturist here in Milwaukee where I live, and he also does acupuncture, so he's more holistic like I am. And so I was praying about it, and I got an intuitive hit to actually work with his nurse practitioner. And I think it was probably because she was just going to be a little bit more flexible, because I went to her and I said, look, I want you to run this panel, like Lyme, co-infections, mold, and hormonal. And she said, yes. I think, you know, if I went to this, you know, I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but I think if I went to the other doctor, I don't know if he would have been so receptive. I
Right.
shouldn't say that though and assume things, but I think it was just divinely orchestrated. And so as soon as I got the panels back, I was like, okay, I know exactly what I need to do. And I had the lab work done in April. By the time I got the lab work back, I already had the supplements in my mailbox because I already like, and so
You
I
already,
started.
okay, this is really what it is. I already know in my body, like this is the final answer, right? Like this is the accurate diagnosis, not fibromyalgia.
Right. And two, finding out, you know, I had multiple strains of Lyme disease. And then I also had lots of co-infections, you know, Epstein-Barr virus that I had when I was a little kid that was probably still, it was definitely still playing havoc in my body. You know, Bartonella, you know, I had all these different ones that were causing, like I said, this brain inflammation, this brain infections. I'm trying to run a business, you know, doing all these, a bunch of different businesses and, you know, leading people through this. And it was very challenging, but it was very rewarding. And I was grateful that I, you know, started this at such a young age because I could really make my schedule the way I wanted to make my schedule. So I knew like my times where I'm like the sharpest for my people is like 2 to 6, you know? So then I could like rest in the morning and really rest and because I knew if I wasn't really gonna be my best patient, I was never gonna get through this. Because I've
Right.
seen it, like I said, I don't want to be stereotypical on people, but it's like I can tell pretty fast who's going to get through this pretty fast. You know, are they like how much skin are they going to put in the game? Are they
That
going to be willing to drink some water? Because it's really interesting when I talk to any of my clients or patients, most people aren't drinking water. Most people aren't pooping. Most people are, or they're doing too much of the other. You know, like it's where is the balance of it? Are you eating? You know, a lot of times people think they're eating nutritious foods, but then I'm asking them, well, how much protein are you getting? They have no idea. And if our protein levels aren't adequate, our liver won't function, and then our detox pathways won't function. So sometimes it's as simple as just making sure they have their macros and making sure their protein's on track. Like sometimes just
You
getting
know,
back to
it's so
hygiene.
it's the basics, right? But and even just take myself for example, right? Like before I got sick, I thought I had a pretty good diet, but unfortunately, our food is toxic, right? Like we live in a toxic environment as it is. So we oftentimes don't know what we don't know, right? Like that's a fair enough assumption. But what you just said was just such key, like how much skin do you have in the game? It is not, and let me repeat, listeners out there, Erica, you can agree or disagree, right? It is about the amount of skin you want to put in the game versus the amount of money you want to put in the game. It really is. It is up to you. Our bodies are incredible. They have the capability of healing given the right foundation, given the right environment, right? And yes, we're
Absolutely.
not saying it doesn't cost money. But man, are there things that we can do to support our body that is free or next to free? And people just need to understand that. So I love that phrase. How much skin in the game? Not how much money in the game, how much skin in the game?
And you know, I just want to, I mean, you said it so beautifully. I love that we're just on the same page. I mean, it was like I was quoted there. This isn't like it's just like perfect. So I love it. I love the sync. I love it. But what I, you know, we are built with these beautiful superpowers that we don't tap into, a lot of us. We have an imagination. And the thing is, fear and faith, they're both believing in the unseen. So what are you going to choose? And it's not necessarily the faith as religion. It's not even going there, but it's just like, what are you going to choose? And because you can't have lack and abundance on the same spectrum, you have to choose one. And so, and it's not to minimize this, but like maybe you just even start seeing the abundance of medical bills. I mean, the abundance of grass, the abundance of water coming out of your faucet, the abundance, you know, like just the abundance of flowers if it's summer, where you know, if you're listening to this, or you know, snow if you're listening to this winter, you know, getting just being in the gratitude of things that can really just lift our emotional spectrum here on the emotional
And raise
spectrum.
our vibration, right?
Yes.
Like if we're vibrating at a low level.
So exactly. So here's depression. There's nothing here. And a lot of times, especially, you know, when we're in these things, either short term or long term, we're going to have it. That's part of the human emotions, right? We don't want to bypass them. We're not putting our heads in the sand. But the thing is, we want to move, we want to just shift our brains to being, are you willing? Because from depression, here's anger. That willingness just to go up a little bit got you to anger. That's a little bit of movement, actually. It's an improvement. But if you can get to willingness, that's halfway up the emotional spectrum. And then love's up here. But the real highest frequency, the highest vibration that you can get into is your authentic nature. You are your superpower. And before we started doing the podcast, we were talking about your human design. And that's why I love that, because it's telling you your energetic blueprint. And then you can ninja move it and leverage that for your health, your personal, and your professional. And anyone can do figure out what their human design is for free and Google it and figure out what it is. So that's another, and that's another thing that's so cool. We live in an information highway. Now it's what you're going to do with it, because there's some shadow in it. And that could really put you down a rabbit hole that's not so, you know, great. That could be destructive, right? But if you get into alignment with people like you, with me, like the Ticked Off Foundation, like the Project, like all the communities that are like advocating for us, that can really just, you know, give our brains this evidence that things are possible. So there's just, I don't know, there's a lot of different beautiful free ways that we can do this. You know, we can talk about that more too.
Yeah, and there really are. And you know, there's a lot of great support groups out there, but they can also be overwhelming as well, right? Like we've got to kind of pick and choose where we want to put our body into, right? What do we want to encompass our body and soul with? Negativity, positivity. And it's not that we have to be positive every waking moment of the day, right? We
No.
have bad days. Put on your big girl panties and tomorrow have a better day, right? That's not what we're trying to say, but what we're trying to say is that you have to surround yourself with the high vibrations, the positive thinking, and gratitude, because that truly is kind of the root of us as a human. So, anyways, listeners, if you haven't heard anything or don't know anything about human design, you said earlier, is it on your website, Erica, that they can do
It
it
is
for
under
free?
services.
Perfect. Okay. So, listeners, as always, all the information that we talk in this, I'll be sure to put the links in the description of this episode. So, yeah, that's a whole nother podcast in itself, right? Like just fascinating information. So, I want to jump into, if we can, you know, all these years that you've been trying to figure out all these healing things and all the studying and all the training that you've done, you've come up with this easy method. And so,
Yes.
I don't know, kind of a deceiving name. Is it Erica? Is it easy?
Well, easy is for my initials, Erica Zernzak. So it's a little play
Oh
on
my
my name.
gosh. Okay, I didn't even put that together, but hey, maybe it is easy.
You know, it's not necessarily easy. The easy method isn't just a protocol or a modality, it's a strategy. And so it's once you understand the strategy, things can get easier. Because it's like, you know, like just the things that we've been talking about, right? The awareness. Once we have the awareness, then we can take the inspired, aligned actions. And that is very different for each person. And that's why the easy method, it works so well, is because it's so customized. You know, a lot of the the so-called protocols for Lyme and co-infections and mold toxicity, they're very much in a box. You get a box that everyone gets, or, and there's a lot of that stuff works. And that's the thing. Some of the, there's not one magic formula for all of us. We don't know our detox pathways. We don't know our genetic, or, like, there's genetic at play. There's environmental toxins at play. There's trauma in,
All the
there's
hidden stressors, right? Like the
all the
hidden
hidden
things.
things.
Yes, there's
And
so much
so,
more to it than just killing Lyme, than just killing the pathogens. There's many, many layers to the healing process. So I love that. Okay, so I totally misread that whole easy, right? Like easy, your initials. I love it. It's actually quite clever,
I
Erica.
think a lot of people like so don't I think several people don't quite get that yet, and so I could do better marketing about that probably, but it you know so yes, I never want to be minimizing this, but I think if we can just doing this for 30 years, I've seen a lot of people, and I was like, okay, these people get better, and sometimes they stay better, and sometimes they don't stay better. And it doesn't matter if it's treating allergies or back pain or Lyme disease, or it doesn't matter what the Western diagnosis is. Why aren't these people staying better? Well, they get out into their car and they look at their phone, and then they break back their nervous systems, and they're going, if they're not doing the lifestyle, and if they're not looking at all of the different perspectives and all the different layers, and treating their bodies as temples. That can be problematic. And so I could do acupuncture on you every single day for the rest of your life. And yes, you would have benefits from it. That's not, I would never take that away from acupuncture or herbs or homeopathic or Reiki or any of the things that I do or other people do. But it's really the inside work. And this is not to put blame or shame on anybody. Because no one wakes up and be like, yeah, I'm gonna have this someday. It's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna wake up and have Lyme disease. That's not what I'm saying, or trauma. No one wakes up and asks for that. So it's our responsibility to clean up our side of the street. So we don't
Okay.
bleed it onto other people too, right? So I had to take radical accountability for my life, radical responsibility for my life. I had to remove the toxic people and environments and things. I needed to, I cut out alcohol. I cut out, and especially I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but like in Wisconsin, we have a bar in every street. We do, it's just this very different, you grow up, everything is alcohol. And so for me, to be one of the first people to not be drink, like, it just was, a lot of different things, and that also causes, it's like we're already have this isolation because we have these mystery symptoms, and then you have to have these food restrictions, and then you have this and this and this, and so I
And
love
then,
that
oh,
there's
and then she doesn't drink. Oh, she's
yes.
just not fun. She's, yeah, I mean, there's so many, isolating factors to going through this journey. There really is. And
But I think the magic of the isolation is there's no distractions.
right.
You have nothing distracting you from what you need to take a look at. And so just have a conversation with the fear. Just grab a cup of tea and sit down and be like, "Hey, fear, how you doing? What's going on here? What do we have to know here? Is this," and I really love to put things in digestible categories. We live 95% of our lives in memory. So just ask yourself, am I in memory right now? And you might be like, "Wow." Like that could be a muscle that you need to build, but you could just like maybe you smell roses and then you smell like it takes you right back to a memory of roses. Then you obviously know that you're in memory, and then you can just say thank you, goodbye. You want to honor it because that memory popped up for a reason. It kept you alive in that moment. The next one is this energy even mine? We are energetic beings. We are You and I are exchanging energy. This Wi-Fi is exchanging energy. The computers are energy. And so you can go to a grocery store and pick up energy. You can go to the doctor's office and pick up energy. You can pick up energy from the social media. So just, I like to do some dry brushing when I get home, or, just even brushing myself off. I have a stress relief guide on my Easy Method Academy that's free for everybody that I have some, but like just even shaking off or brushing off, animals in the wild, they shake things off. And so even after a meeting or just a work day, or just even anything, even rubbing back here, just really invigorating your brain, especially if you're going to be learning or going into a next conversation, just to kind of clear that attachment. The last two categories are, is this energy mine? You might be having fear right now, for example, and you might need to have a conversation with it. Or the last category is this mine that I need to deal with later? Because you have a big, beautiful life and you don't have to figure out everything today. So maybe you have fear of like retirement or fear of, put it there, and then you only have this little schnib, as my grandpa used to say, this little piece, right? And then it's not so, it's just manageable. You can just be like, okay, I see this fear. Now what inspired aligned action do I need to take? And maybe it might be that you need some protein or take a nap or go outside and take a walk around the block or call a friend that really invigorates you and that understands you. So, like you were saying, there's a
I love that. No, and that's the thing too. Whenever we're doing something that's challenging or hard, right? Like it truly is best to break it up into bite-sized pieces. I mean,
Yes.
we are, most of us are adults, right? A lot of us that are going through this journey and trying to advocate for ourselves, but we need to do things in baby steps. Like we really do, because it's the big picture is too overwhelming. So just like what you said, Erica, figure out what it is and work on that one little piece. Like what is important to me right now? And just kind of clearing out that energy when you are done doing something before you start another task. The first thing that popped into my mind was how many people take off their shoes when they go into their house? If you think about wearing your shoes in your house, how absolutely disgusting that is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I am a clean freak, right? But think about it. Our shoes are bringing in everything that you've stepped on outside the oil, just you name it, we've stepped on it, and you're going to bring it into your home. Kind of, that
Yeah.
makes me think of that when you talk about kind of this process of clearing that energy to restart is take off the shoes at the front door.
It is. I mean, and it can affect people's sleep if they're not clearing this energy. It could, if you're thinking, if you're ruminating about something that happened earlier and it's still happening, then that's no good either. So
Yeah.
it's,
Now, and why I think
it's
about this, if I could share this with the listeners,
yes,
because
please.
you're making so many things pop into my head. So I am one of those that go to bed at night and my head will just spin of all the things that, whatever, that I didn't do, that I need to do, that I should have done, that you know what I mean? Did I do that right? Did I remember this? And something I started doing recently is when I get ready to crawl into bed, I actually say out loud, "You have completed today completely. It is over with, and you can go to rest now." Like it might sound silly, but man, are those words powerful to me, because I lay in bed and nothing goes through my mind. I just gave my permission, my body permission to be done with the day. It's powerful, right?
I love that. It is, and I think it just gives us more evidence of how powerful we really are. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I love this. I love this.
Me too.
So, I want to talk about a couple more things.
Yes.
You do acupuncture, right? So a
Yes.
lot of people, that was one thing that I did at the beginning of my journey before I knew I had Lyme disease. I did it consistently for months. I personally didn't have any benefits,
Okay.
but I 1,000,000% believe in acupuncture. I think it's brilliant. I love it. Like it just, whatever reason, I didn't know what I was dealing with, right? I went there just to get rid of my pain. And unfortunately, it didn't work for me, but I am a big believer in acupuncture. And it's not as scary as it may sound, guys. These needles, they're so tiny. They really don't hurt. There's a lot of them, in some situations, and it could be a little scary. But truly, it's something you should definitely look into, because I think it's an incredible tool. But I want to talk about acupuncture when it comes to alpha gal syndrome, AGS, the red meat allergy, whatever we want to refer to it as, right? I've been hearing lately in the community something about SAAT. I don't know if I'm supposed to say the letters or spell it or what, but I don't know a lot about it. What can you share with me about that and how it's working for, because AGS listeners, if you're not familiar, it is not actually a bacteria that we've gotten from an a tick bite, right? I mean, they do come from ticks, but it's actually an allergy to a sugar molecule in mammalian products. So it doesn't, that's kind of
Right.
why it got the name for the red meat allergy, right? But it,
Right.
unfortunately, it could actually be in so many other things, your household products, toilet
Gelatin,
paper,
capsules.
gelatin capsules, your vitamin C could be, the powder could be in a capsule. Like, it's really a scary thought, right? And so there's
Even
not a
grill
lot of
season,
known,
smoking
yes.
the air. The grill season is a problem. And too,
Yes.
with this allergy, it sneaks up to you. So it isn't, it's not like a peanut allergy where it's going to hit you immediately. It's one that creeps up like 4, 6, 8 hours later. So then you might have consumed a lot of different things in between there. And so that is what's very tricky. Now, with ear acupuncture, what, just to give you a little cliff note version, this is where it's an upside down body. So this is where your feet are, or excuse me, this is your face, and this is where your feet are. This is your
Okay.
spine.
So, listeners,
You're
if you're on
here.
Spotify or Apple,
I'm sorry.
you might want to go onto YouTube because Eric has given us a great description of this.
So I'll just for those listeners, the lobe of your ear is your face. So it's an upside down body. And then the top of your ear would be where your feet are. But there are points, you know, if you have pain with weather changes. There's a weather change point up here. There are points, but inside of here is our organs. And that's why the alpha gal treatments really work. But they have ear, we do ear protocols for everything.
Oh,
Weather
wow.
changes, asthma, eczema, heart condition. I mean, like any, because it's your whole body.
Wow.
So
Okay, I didn't know
it's,
that.
yeah, so it's more than just alpha gal. It's, tinnitus in the ear, insomnia, diarrhea of, acne. I mean, hormonal issues. That's what's so brilliant about acupuncture.
Yes.
So,
And but so for like regular acupuncture, you go in, you do a session, they put the needles in you, and then from my recollection years ago, right, decades ago, was that you just kind of sit there and lay there and they're in you and then they take them out. But my understanding is the SAAT for alpha gal, they actually leave the needle in your ear for a few weeks or something. Could you
they do.
explain kind of the differences of that?
They do. So they place the needle in your ear, but it's not going in like straight. It's going in kind of like parallel. Like it's almost like they're threading it in. And then so it doesn't fall out, they put like a little adhesive, a little band-aid over it.
Okay.
What they're doing also with this, and before we started the podcast, we were talking a lot about muscle testing. Muscle testing has been something I've been doing since I was 15. That's one of the advanced classes I started taking. And I think it's a tool that everyone should know. And
My
but
favorite thing.
yeah, they do that with this ear technique. They're doing muscle testing, they're seeing the allergies that are in these vials. Which is very similar to what we do in craniobiotic technique, which is the first part of Lymestop. So, and in Lymestop, they use vials. So, a lot of these techniques use these vials and muscle testing. But each of those techniques are just a little bit different. Like one uses needles, one uses magnets, one uses, so it's, but at the end of the day, what it's
Okay.
doing is activating the brain to really do the healing. Because we're brilliant. We just got to activate it. So, that's the coolest part.
I don't think I knew that about acupuncture.
Yeah. So with
Interesting.
acupuncture, I would have grabbed my doll, but my dog, Miss Miracle, she took my little Chinese plastic doll and kind of used her as a toy. But we have these energetic highways, these meridians that go up and down our bodies, and that's what's creating communication in our body. So they're named after organs. So for instance, well, the people get, the that are listening won't be able to see this, but on the outside of your eye is your gallbladder channel, and it goes up your scalp and all the way down your back, then on the outside of your leg, down to your toe, your baby toe. Now, what's interesting about that is you can have two different types of sciatica. One that goes straight down is your urinary bladder, and then the other side is your gallbladder. So, we're as acupuncturists, we're looking at these energetic highways. We're feeling the pulses and feeling the meridians. We're doing diagnosis of the meridians with your pulses. We can see everything in your tongue and know what's going on with you.
Fascinating.
It is
I didn't
fascinating.
under, I guess I never really understood what acupuncture was. That is so incredible. because I am all about like our bodies are energy, right? Like we're light beings, our body's energy, vibration. I love sound therapy. I love muscle testing. Like, all of that, it's all together in so many of these things. It's not necessarily about let's go in and attack the pathogens, right? Let's turn on our body. Let's signal it to do what it's supposed to do and get back in balance.
And that's why Chinese medicine is so advanced with these complex health challenges, because they already knew what Lyme disease was. They called it Gu syndrome, GU syndrome. And the picture of Gu syndrome in the old classic textbooks is a black pot with worms coming out of it. It's gross, but
Oh,
it's
really?
yeah. So they, and you can have two different types of Gu syndrome. One, it was either neurological brain, or one or the other is digestion. So you either have one primary, one secondary. And so that really correlates very well with Lyme disease and the neurological, so parts of it. So it is fascinating. But with Chinese medicine, there's eight branches, and acupuncture is only a little snip of it. Herbs is really the like 70% of it, like the biggest part of it. But nutrition, working with nature, doing intentional movement to, they were really big into qigong and moving those meridians. Because if our energy is stuck, if you can think about it like a garden hose, it's tied in a knot, but the water's turned on. One side is building up pressure, and then the other side, water isn't getting through. So on this side of the knot, that's stuck, that's your liver and gallbladder meridians generally. And so those control our muscles, our detox pathways, our eyes, but not just necessarily the vision of our eyes and how the function of our eyes, but the way that we see the lens of the world, our hormones. And so if that's stuck, that's going to cause a lot of problems: insomnia, digestion, body aches and pains. And then on this side, your lung and large intestine are deficient, your spleen and stomach are deficient, your kidneys and bladder are deficient, all these things. And if we can just get that untied, it just creates the beautiful domino effect, a balance.
Wow. Yeah, no, for sure. We are I kind of like to look at our body as like the breaker box in your house. Right? If you have a breaker off, there's going to be somewhere in your house that has lost the connectivity to the rest of your house. And so oftentimes going through chronic illness, we have different things are turned off, right? And it doesn't matter how many supplements you take. Right? Until you turn that on, your body's not going to do what it was designed to do. So now that I'm getting so educated on acupuncture, I love it. So I have a question for you.
Please.
So when it comes to acupuncture, just by learning how you just described it, right? It's you can read somebody's body and what is off. So does that mean one would not necessarily have to go to an acupuncturist that even was familiar with Lyme disease? Because truly, if you go there, right, like that might be a loaded question too. So, and I
No,
apologize if it is, but I'm thinking in my mind that no, you just go there, they can tell what is not connecting, right? What has lost, what's tied in the hose. So I'm just curious.
Well, the truth of the matter is, there just aren't enough Lyme literate and complex literate practitioners in the world. And so that's why I'm teaching practitioners to become literate in these complex health challenges. It's one of the things I'm doing through my Easy Method Academy school. If you don't know it, and I don't want to say this to scare anybody, so I'm all about creating solutions and safety. So I just want to put that right here. There is a chance that other, if people don't know what they're doing, they can feed the problem.
For sure,
So
for sure.
it's like, you definitely want to be working with somebody, that has, like you said, I don't even want to say that they have to have had Lyme. I don't want to say that there's great practitioners that have never
No,
walked the walk,
some of the best practitioners have gone through the journey, but and I would never even dream of going and being treated by a practitioner that doesn't know anything about Lyme. Like that would
Right.
just like that makes zero sense. But when it comes to acupuncture, it makes part of my brain think, well, if they're really just reading your body, they're
Yes.
turning it on. Like, do they really need to know about Lyme? Is I guess maybe that was the way I should have phrased my question.
I think, if you, let's say you go to a acupuncturist for back pain, and let's say you fell off your bike and you have back pain, absolutely go see the acupuncture, any acupuncturist that is board certified. Now, if you have complex health challenges, I would definitely find an expert in your field. And there are, there are people all around the world that do this. So, I don't, but you got to find the right ones. Just because it's going to save you time and money and energy in your life and relationships, and to just work with the people that know what they're doing.
For sure. Yes, for
And
sure.
to
They need to know what they're doing.
I think this is a big opportunity for us to be building our muscles of trusting and our own inner wisdom again. Because whether we've been medically gaslit or gaslit by other people or gaslit by ourselves, we are building that muscle back up of speaking our truth. What, you can walk out of a doctor's office or a practitioner's office if it doesn't feel good to you. Yes, get up and walk out. And if they call it Lyme's disease, walk out. I mean, there's like these little.
And thank you for saying that, Erica, because I think I know in the community, we're like, if somebody calls it Lyme's, we're like, you really probably need to do some little background on that practitioner, right? I mean, sometimes it could slip out, maybe, I don't know. But I loved that you said you can walk out of a doctor's office. I mean, they're working for us, right? So we can absolutely fire a practitioner. And if you are working with a practitioner, spending your time, energy, and money with them, if your mind isn't sold that you're aligning with this practitioner, chances are you're probably wasting your time, energy, and money.
Right. And because it is, it's, I think most of us that have gone through this, we can tell right away if someone knows what they're talking about. And two, how they're making us feel. Like,
Yes.
because you are worthy and you deserve to be treated, to the best medical care that's possible for you. It's not to, I'm protective of everybody. I just want it to be,
I
you know.
know. Yeah, no, I totally get that. But it is, it's frustrating because sometimes we get so desperate going through this journey that so and so said, this is the most amazing doctor. They got me well, right? And so we put in our mind, okay, I have to go with this doctor. And that simply isn't true. So you really need to do your own soul searching, right? And make sure that you are aligning with the practitioner that you're about to spend all this time, energy, and money with. Because again, if your mind is saying no, but your pocketbook is saying yes, you may not have great results. So we can fire doctors. I know some of us as patients have been fired by doctors. You're too complex. We don't know what to do with you, right? Like, leave. So it does go both ways, but it truly is important to find a great practitioner that you trust and that you can resonate with, for sure.
Right. Because at the end of the day, the biggest part of this is safety. Creating safety within ourselves.
Let's
Create.
talk about that. So we're going to have to wrap it up here shortly. And I truly could talk to you forever because I love all of these topics, right? But let's talk about that safety. Let's talk about our nervous system. And so many people don't understand, I mean, you've mentioned it multiple times throughout this hour, Erica, about how amazing our bodies are, right? And how they go off of our thoughts and our words. And so much of it plays into that role. People don't understand the power of our nervous system. So, not being a practitioner, I'm going to let you take the reins. I'm going to try really hard to keep my mouth closed because this is such a fascinating topic to me because it's huge. People, I wish they understood the power of our nervous system. So break it down for us.
So our subconscious has 95% of our habits and our patterns and our thoughts. And so if that's boggled down with a bunch of old patterns that are outdated, old thoughts that are outdated, old, like a bunch of, if you think about a pie chart, if it's all clogged up with all this old stuff, what can be allowed to come in? What can be received? Nothing. So, that is a big part of this. We need to be looking at our subconscious. When I finally was diagnosed in 2023, I just built my recovery program. I'm like, okay, this, as I'm doing this, I'm just gonna build this as I build it, And I, because of my degrees, I was able to talk to all like the background training of all the herbal products. Like I, and I'm a nerd. I own it. I love it. I will always love to learn. And that's something too. Find a practitioner that loves to learn because there's so much to this. So I was talking to a lady at an herbal company, and she had a very similar story to me. And so she told me the herbs that she took to get through it. And then she said that she did brain retraining. So I put brain retraining into my recovery systems. I had been doing nervous system and trauma-informed care and doing things like kind of building the muscle up for this. And then when I put it in there, I was like, whoa, this is the ticket. This is the ticket. And because if we don't get our brain straight, it is problematic. And this isn't put, like I said, to put guilt or shame, but it's to give you empowerment that anyone can do this at any age. What we fire in our brain is what rewires. And like I said, that's what's so cool. It doesn't matter where you are, anyone or any age. You could be a baby to, 100 years old and do this.
Yeah, and it really is. You just said, and I already lost the words that you said because they were. I'm like, whoa, I've never heard it put that way, but that makes so much sense. What did you just say?
Maybe what we fire rewires, maybe.
Yes. I love those words because that is so true. And our body is constantly our body was designed with both sides of the sympathetic, right? Like the sympathetic, the parasympathetic, the fight or flight, what we call, our body is to react. They use the phrase of you see a lion, you need to get some adrenaline and run, right? But oftentimes our body is always firing those cylinders when we're going through this. I remember years ago, my practitioner explained it to me as, and I thought it was really interesting at the time. And I still think that the analogy is good, but it was crazy how, what an impression it made on me and our nervous system. He said, think of it like this. You're in your car. If you have it in neutral and you just rev the engine and you watch the little RPM things, I don't even know if the cars have those anymore, right? Like the little RPM things go up. That is what your body is doing 24/7, even when you're trying to sleep.
Yes.
And eventually your engine's going to blow up, right? And eventually your
Yep.
body's going to fail. And that's what happens because we can't. We're not allowing our nervous system to calm down and get in that safety zone to where it can actually rest.
So true. It is. I do use a very similar analogy to that practitioner. I say the emergency brake, because it is. It's like you'll probably get there, but
Okay.
it's gonna really mess up your car. And so it's
Right. Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest takeaways I could tell the listeners is, even if you take the first half an hour of the day and the last half an hour of the day and really just get in the delulu is a salulu, get into the delusion of your imagination, this new identity. Who do you want to be? And just be limitless. Get your sensory in it. What does it taste like, smell like? What are you wearing? Who are you with? And be in the gratitude and the completion of it. I want you to be sending me a postcard that you're at the finish line of your recovery. And how does it feel to be in that relief? How does it feel to be in that? And that's the ticket. Because if you can say, I'm in relief till you're blue in the face, but if you're not embodying that, and the cool thing is, a lot of times when people have had Lyme disease, they had a time period before it where they didn't have it. So they can go into their archives and they have evidence of like, my body can't, people like me, it took me a little bit more brain retraining because I didn't have any evidence of like, what does my body feel like to not be in pain? Because I didn't know what that felt
You
like.
didn't know you had because you've been sick forever. Yeah,
Because it's like
right.
we need to do brain retraining before we start our recovery, in the middle of it, and then for maintenance, because there are still triggers that come up. It's very, when you've had a chronic illness, the very first thing you do that when you wake up in the morning is scan your body and see what's wrong and then figure out how you're going to get through the day.
Yeah.
You set
And
yourself up
that's
for
true
failure,
at the be kind of beginning, middle, and end, because a lot of people I know that have made it to the other side of the journey, right? Like they live with PTSD, they live in fear. And I think that it's really important because it truly is, has to be kind of along the journey, to work on that the whole way.
Because it is, and with the lime and the, because mold is a lot of times intertwined with this, and
It's
someone
that
sees a
hidden
piece of mold,
stressor that many people miss. Yeah.
and so, but the thing is, I think at the end of the day, the more that we know that there are solutions, and that the more that we can get our bodies to be this beautiful terrain, this beautiful, healthy terrain, we're going to be more unstoppable. And that, like I said in the beginning of this, like that could be just getting back to basics. Are you sleeping? Are you going to the bathroom? Are you having fun? Are you playing? I think that's, especially when you have been so sick. I know that we only have so many spoons in our drawer when we don't feel so good, but just to go out and have a little fun, or have fun at your house, or like have a, just be creative. But I think when we really lose that fun part of life, it just gets a little bit tougher. So I like to sprinkle the fun in.
Yeah, gets a little bit darker for sure. And I love that how you listeners, maybe you need to listen to this again, but Erica said, take a little bit of your time in the morning and a little bit of your time at night. Be consistent with it because we do live in a world of instant gratification. Unfortunately, our bodies don't respond that way, right? Like nothing happens overnight. Consistency is key. So, what we want you to get to is the point of you keep doing this, whether it's weeks or months, right? Or a year. And then the next thing that just all of a sudden clicks in your brain was, oh, wow, that hasn't happened to me in a long time. Or, oh, wow, I can't remember the last time I didn't have a good night's sleep. Or, oh, wow, I can't remember the last time I had pain, right? It's very mild and very gradual when you turn your body on and calm down your nervous system. So that was such a great tip to leave with the listeners, Erica. I love it.
I've loved this whole experience. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. And as always, listeners, it sounds like Erica has a lot of free resources in her website, the human design thing that you can go in and test. So, as always, like I said, I will put all the information in the description of this episode. Erica, this has been fabulous. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. And I also want to invite the viewers and listeners to the Limelight Recovery Power Hour. It's a second Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. Central. And the event is always in my events on Facebook. And so we have the whole year mapped out, and people are welcome, and caregivers are welcome too, and practitioners.
I love that. Oh my gosh. That will be in the description of the episode as well.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Thank you
Thank you
so much.
so much.
Honor, and thank you for everyone for listening. I really appreciate you too.